diary, that they all may be one. November 28, 1902. I've slept from 7 till 1 o'clock. I praise the Lord, the giver of all blessings, for this precious sleep. All who believe the word are to be doers of the word. The prayer of Christ, recorded in the 17th chapter of John, is full of encouragement for us. It is given as a lesson to be studied by his disciples. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Verse 14. Let us then keep ourselves separate from the spirit and practices of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Verses 17, 18. The servants of the Lord Jesus have been commissioned to go forth into places nigh and afar off, proclaiming the gospel, that to the church may be added all who believe the truth. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Verses 19, 20. This embraces every one who will ever hear and accept the message of truth, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Verse 21. When believers in Christ so adorn Bible truth that they are brought into union with Christ, the world will understand that they bear the divine credentials. They will see the influence of Bible truth upon the mind and character. They will recognize that those who receive the truth become partakers of the divine nature. They do not quarrel among themselves, because the love of Christ is in their hearts. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1, verse 12 to 14. The fulfillment of prophecy. In the night season, I seem to be addressing large congregations, both of believers and unbelievers. The 24th chapter of Matthew is presented again and again by the great teacher, to be studied and brought to the attention of all. We are today living in the time when these predictions are being fulfilled. Let our ministers and teachers present the prophecies of this chapter to those whom they instruct. Let them leave matters of lesser consequence and present the truths that will decide the eternal destiny of souls. Questions of eternal importance are before us. The Lord calls upon his church to arouse as they see the unmistakable fulfillment of prophecy, showing that Christ's coming is at hand. Jesus made plain statements of the conditions in the world in the last days. He said, "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." Verses 7 to 9. "Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Verses 23 to 27. The church that will take heed to these signs will not be among those that have left their first love. To those who in their self-importance have separated themselves from Christ, who have left their first love, the Lord sends the warning. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Revelation 2, verse 5. The candlestick of many is now being removed, because they have failed to take heed to this warning.
Let no one turn away from another because he does not fully agree with him. The performance of God's work is given to human agencies. God has given to every man his work. His servants are to carry the light to those who sit in darkness. Those who engage in dissension and strife are working against God. They show that they have left their first love. They are of those of whom Christ says, "Many shall be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another." Matthew 24, verse 10. He does not here refer to the world. He pictures the conditions existing in the church. Is not this spirit now being revealed among us? And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Verses 11-12. In our churches today, the love of many is waxing cold. Many are being worked by satanic agencies. In view of these things, what shall we do? Shall our ministers take part in the fulfillment of this prophecy? Shall our physicians seek to act the part of leaders and gain the confidence of the people when they themselves are not worked by the Holy Spirit of God? A great work is to be done. I am moved by the Spirit of God to say to those engaged in the Lord's work that the favorable time for our message to be carried to the cities has passed by, and this work has not been done. I feel a heavy burden that we shall now redeem the time. Unity in the Church. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Romans 12, verse 4-5. By a beautiful illustration, Paul shows the harmony that the Spirit of God will bring into the church. He is here addressing both Jews and Gentiles. He presents the gospel of Christ as the plan of salvation for the whole world. He would have all understand that both Jews and Gentiles are to be harmonious members of one body, with Jesus as the head. Both Jews and Gentiles have sinned. Both need the Savior's grace. As members of Christ's body, by faith and obedience, both Jew and Gentile are one. Christ is the head, and the body is composed of all who accept him as their Savior, who confess their sins, and who are transformed by the renewing of the mind. The Gentiles may, by faith, become true children of Abraham and partakers of the promises made to him. By repentance and faith in the glorious hope of the gospel, all will be brought into harmonious action as they continue to obey the requirements of God. Let all labor for unity and love. By this, said Christ, shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. John 13, verse 35. The manifestation of love for one another will be the most convincing argument to the world of the power of Christ. Let us do as Christ has said. Love is the golden chain that binds hearts together and unites them to the eternal center, the Son of God, and to God Himself. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Instant in prayer. Romans 12, verse 6 to 12. Pray at all times, when walking in the streets or engaged in the daily labor. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. He may be found of every sincere believer, and He will shield his soul from the temptations of Satan. If all who profess to be Christians would heed this instruction, a great transformation would be seen in the church. An example of humble ministry. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. 1 John 1, verse 1 to 4.
John, who lived on the earth as one who had seen him who was invisible, wrote these words. He had had the privilege of being with Christ, and he always regarded this as a most blessed experience. He loved to relate it often. But he does not here once mention his own name. He wishes the mind of the reader to be centered upon the comprehensive truths that he presents. Self is kept out of sight. Christ, our mediator, is the center of John's gospel. He is the all and in all, the foundation and object of our faith and hope. Both the ministry and the church schoolwork, when united with the Holy Spirit, are living agencies to prepare human hearts for the higher school in the kingdom of God. What a wonderful work might be done now, just now, if all who know the truth would obey it. I am grateful to my Heavenly Father. He has relieved me of infirmities with which I have been afflicted. I awake at 12 o'clock. My mind is exercised upon many subjects. Scene after scene passes before me, some of a pleasant nature, revealing the glory of God. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, no one is left out. Everyone is here addressed, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Verse 3. Let no man think that he is superior to others, and that he must rule over anyone whom the Lord has called.